Hey, folks, as we approach another critical election, a wave of concern washes over America. Recent studies reveal that an astonishing 56% of our fellow citizens report feelings of anxiety or dread about the upcoming presidential election. That's why I stand with AMAC. AMAC is more than a senior discount organization. During these challenging times, they fight for common sense and hope that our nation returns to traditional American values. Visit amac.us/justnews today to seize an exclusive election year special, a four-year AMAC membership for just $30. That's right, you heard me right, 4 years for 30 bucks. As an AMAC member, you're not only enjoying money-saving benefits, but also the AMAC magazine, free Social Security and Medicare advice, a trusted voice in Washington, and a community of like-minded patriots who love this great nation. Take advantage of this election year special, 4 years for $30, and be part of the solution over the next 4 years. By becoming an AMAC member, you're strengthening a movement dedicated to preserving the principles we hold dear in this great country. Join now at amac.us/justnews. That's amac.us/justnews. Hello, America, and welcome to a new edition of John Solomon Reports. Today, we got a full lineup. We're not doing one interview. We're doing two interviews and two amazing interviews. We're going to have the very first reaction from the lawyer for John Paul McIsaac, the laptop repair shop owner who ended up with Hunter Biden's laptop when Hunter Biden left it behind. Hunter Biden was on TV kind of insinuating maybe there was something untoward about the way the laptop came public. Brian Della Rocca is here. He represents John Paul McIsaac, and he's going to provide a response to Hunter Biden. We're going to ask all the questions, including the status of their lawsuit against Twitter and many of the other things that have gone on in the investigation. Important interview, but that's not it. We got more. The one, the only, you may know him as Bo Snerdly, the producer for Rush Limbaugh for more than two decades, but I know him as James Golden, an extraordinary thinker, an extraordinary person, great radio show host, great radio producer, great journalist. James Golden is joining us. We're going to ask him what life has been like without Rush, now that Rush has been gone, what terrible hole in all of our hearts for that, but also what's going on in America, what's going on in Atlanta, at the border, what Republicans are doing right, what they're doing wrong, what conservatives, opportunities await, you know, for conservative movement. An incredible opportunity to talk to two extraordinary newsmakers. No monologue today, no news review. You can go to justthenews.com and check it out. I want to give you the full time with these two extraordinary newsmakers. So we're going to do a quick commercial break when we come back. Up first, James Golden, you may know him as Bo Snerdly, the former producer for Rush Limbaugh, extraordinary all-around great journalist, producer, radio man, all-around great guy. You're not going to want to miss this interview. And then we're going to be talking to Brian Della Rocca, the lawyer for John Paul McIsaac, the Delaware shop owner. He has a few responses, I would say, to Hunter Biden's media tour. We're going to get both of that done today. Stick to it. We're going to have a lot of fun today. First, though, let's hear from our great advertisers and sponsors, and then we'll get back to our newsmaker interviews. Folks, Field of Greens is the healthiest thing I do every day, and I want you on this journey with me. Why? It's literally one scoop a day. It tastes great. I love the fruit flavors particularly, and it's completely improved my life and my health. This is nutrition the way nature intended. When I began taking a hard look at why I wasn't feeling good and why I felt unhealthy, why I was gaining weight, why I was losing energy, it wasn't just because I had hit my 50s. No, it was because I wasn't getting the right amount of fruit and vegetables in my diet. And listen, I'm just too busy to go to the store, clean up the vegetables, cook vegetable dinners, and make sure I hit the fruit. A Field of Greens stepped in. One scoop of powder in my drink or on my eggs in the morning, and boom, I was off and feeling better. And suddenly, I was losing weight. I was sleeping better. My metabolism went up. My blood sugar went down. My cholesterol went down, and my weight went down. And my doctor said, hey, whatever you're doing, keep it doing. You know what that is? It's Field of Greens. That's what I've been doing. Field of Greens is radically different. Each organic fruit and vegetable was medically chosen to support heart and vital organ health. I trust Field of Greens to keep me healthy. I promise you, you're going to love this product. But if for any reason you don't, they'll give you 100% money back guaranteed. Now, you're going to get 15% off your first order, plus free Rush shipping because of the incredible partnership we have here at Just the News with Brick House Nutrition, and, of course, Field of Greens. All you got to do to take advantage of this offer, visit fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code JUSTNEWS. That's promo code JUSTNEWS at fieldofgreens.com. Don't wait. Go to fieldofgreens.com today. Use the promo code JUSTNEWS for 15% off. All right, folks, welcome back from the commercial break. And as promised, a very special guest, somebody who has made an enormous impact in American politics and American dialogue. Many of you know him as Bo Snerdly, the great producer for Rush Limbaugh. Those of us also know him as by his real name, James Golden. James, welcome to the show.
Oh, John, thank you so much. Very kind of you. I am so happy to be here with you. You are a legend yourself, my friend.
If you stick around long enough, you can get that, I guess. But it is fun, and we have so much to talk about. But first, I want to ask you a personal question, because there was no one more instrumental in Rush's day-to-day operations and his personal life than you. And I know he's left an enormous void in all of America, but how are you personally doing? You were just so important to him, and the two of you together was like magic at every moment.
It has been really tough, and see, it was more than just me, though. There were three of us in the room with Rush.
Right.
Almost every day for the last 20 years down here, and of course, I was with him in New York.
Right.
And then we had a New York crew. And so the amazing thing about Rush, one of the amazing things, is that we've had people that have been along for the full ride, and no one leaves. I mean, we've had so few people that have left the show. I don't even know how many, one, two, maybe, because he was such a great person to work with, and he was just such an amazing boss. He picked great people and let them alone, let them do their job.
Wow, what a great idea.
You know, yeah, and so that, John, that was one of the most amazing things. When Rush called that meeting to tell us of his illness, we knew something was wrong, because we never had meetings. We just did our job. So
wow.
Instantly, when Rush is calling a meeting, everybody got a gut sick feeling, because yeah, something was wrong. But it has been tough. You know, I still wake up some days expecting to go to be in my old routine, and it takes me a minute to realize, oh no, that's gone. And more than that, you know, Russ, it's like a, before I even worked for him, he was a friend, and he was always such a beautiful guy, and always so generous, so supportive. So it is a very, very, very painful loss. And I, you know, time eases things, so they say. I hope that's true, because it's not easing right now.
I can only imagine. I had a few lucky interactions with him over the years when I had a story that interested him. And I think I did a long form interview with him about a year and a half ago. But he was so authentic and so genuine, and the gentleman in him, there are very few people that I've met that I could say had the level of just courtesy and gentleman and kindness that he had. And I don't know how you replace that, not to mention his intellect and his ability to get in the back of your head and bring something to the frontal lobe that you should have been thinking about. And you listen to a show and all of a sudden it pops into the front of your lobe and you realize, he's right. I gotta be worried about that. I gotta think about that. And I don't know how you replace that.
Original thinker.
He really was.
He was an original thinker, and he did not. And the first thing that he would normally reject would be the conventional wisdom on anything.
Yep.
So as a practice, he would always look for another way to look at something. And I think that was one of the keys to his success. You talk about him being a gentleman. Look, and this is something, John, I got to see up close, okay, for decades.
I bet.
I don't care who it was. A person could be doing the smallest thing for him in terms of, I don't know, whether it was bringing him a cup of coffee or a story that he wanted. Always, it was a thank you, sir, thank you, ma'am. He never, ever looked down on people in whatever positions they were. And one of the things that he said, and he used to say often, is that you can tell what kind of person you're dealing with by the way he treats he or she treats people that are quote unquote not important.
Isn't that interesting? Wow, yeah. that's a real insight into the man. Yeah.
Yeah, and that was true. And everybody, everybody that came in contact with him on some level of service or whatever, got treated like royalty by him. He was just so amazingly kind to people.
Yeah, he was. I've heard that from so many people, but no one more important than you, because you were right there with him. You saw him day in and day out, and you can't fake that, right? Either you have that kindness and that goodness, or you don't. And he, by every account, he had that, and it is remarkable. As you look out in the 2 months since he's left us, and you see where America is, how quickly it has changed, whether it's the border, whether it's what's going on in Georgia, what do you think, you yourself looking at this now, where is America? What's the inflection point for America two, three months into the Biden presidency?
I think people should be righteously cautious about what we're seeing. The border is a mess. Economic policy is a mess. Meanwhile, the Pravda, like press tells us, everything is booming. Right. All you have to do is go to your gas station and fill up your car,
yep,
and you'll know that what they're saying is not true. I do think that people should be concerned with the direction of this country. I think these attacks on corporations again and corporate structures, although some of the woke corporations are troublesome, as we've seen with Delta and Coca-Cola with their response to the Georgia voting laws. But I look at all of that, John, in a different light. When I look at world history, I continually realize that America is still a very young country. We're not even into our, third century. And, well, we are, but we're not 300 years old yet. And you look at countries that have been on the face of this earth that are thousands of years old, and they haven't, in those thousands of years of existence, done what we've done in less than 300 years.
Such a great point. Isn't that true? We forget that sometimes.
Right. And so I'm continually reminding myself of that. I watch a lot of history programs when I can. And I don't care what nation it is. You can go to Japan. I just spent a few hours watching a show on feudalism in Japan and how brutal it was, how repressive it was. You can go through China's history. You can go through the history of Europe prior to the American Revolution, or some people call it World War Zero. You can go through African history, any history in the world. And what you find is that leaders of nations took their nations down horrid paths. They did horrible things to human beings. And the more advanced we got, the more horrible the things that they did. So when I look at America, what I see is a very young nation that will continue to have this back and forth disagreement that we have had since before our founding. And we've always had it. We have never been a unified nation. We were a nation, in my view, that was set up for disagreement.
Yeah,
we were
true.
Set up to disagree with each other. Our form of government was set up so that we could disagree with each other and have small incremental changes rather than huge sweeping changes. And I think our future is bright. And I think we'll get over Joe Biden. I think that some of the policies he's enacting will be reversed. We will have a president that understands the American people, understands economic growth again. But we have to do our part. We can't just say it's going to happen without doing the work to make it happen.
Yeah, that is such an important point. And as you look out at the rank and file of the conservative movement and those who are charged with now creating the alternative vision, the alternative message to Joe Biden and the wokeism in corporate America and other things going on. What are some of the key? I mean, whenever I listen to Rush, I mean, you guys always did such a great job of getting a message that would stick in your head and that you could, you know, take to the bar, to the water cooler, to the boardroom, to the dinner table, and you know, make a good common sense argument. And you know, I think conservatives are always best when they're winning on ideas rather than rhetoric. What do you think are the most important ideas and messages that conservatives should have to the rest of America as we go through these next few years with Joe Biden at the helm?
That freedom is still our number one asset in America. Freedom. Because freedom, from freedom, everything else flows. And that is indisputable. You have to, and so we have to be the guardians of freedom. And we have to fight this administration where they're trying to rob Americans of their freedom. And that has to be our watch. We have to be on watch for that at every step. I'm encouraged when I see governors now, Republican governors, saying, no, hey, we're not going to go along with these validation cards, these vaccination passports. No way. It's an infringement on privacy. That's encouraging. Less encouraging are the actions of some of the corporate woke boards like at Delta and Colt. But look at the pushback they're getting.
Yeah, it's real.
Very encouraging. And I have to believe that some of the shareholders of those companies are going to be asking these CEOs to defend their positions at the next shareholder meeting. So, I think we just have to be vigilant on our message. Always has to come back to one thing. Well, two things, freedom and liberty. And if we're able to identify those things and find those areas in every policy, we'll do well. For instance, the Georgia election law case, it comes down to freedom and liberty. It comes down to protecting the right to vote. So you're protecting freedom, you're protecting liberty, and the liberal press has been using the word restrictive. It is not restrictive. Yeah. It is actually expansive.
That's right.
What the Republicans did is expand the number of ways that people could vote if they could not present identification, which is not a real problem anyway. You know, the Democrat Party, they're almost laughable. They claim on one hand that African Americans who've been in this country for generations don't have identification. And at the same time, they've given identification to illegal aliens who crossed the border within the last 10 years.
Such a good
point.
So
that they can have driver's licenses.
Yep.
So what is it? Is identification a real problem? And the answer is no.
Yeah. No, it's so true. I was talking to Bob Woodson recently, and he said that, you know, inherent in this whole debate is this sort of soft racism of elitists, which is the assumption that, or the argument, because that most African Americans, Latino Americans, white Americans that are poor, they don't think they have a hard time getting an ID. They can go get it if they need it, they want it. There are many different ways to do it, but it's almost an inherently soft form of racism to argue that certain classes of Americans can't get IDs. Anyone can get an ID. There are programs to get your free IDs or extra hours in some of the states now to get IDs. Do you think everyday Americans, one, are rejecting that argument? And two, does it backfire in the communities that the liberal activists say they're trying to help? Does this message sort of become insulting to those in African-American, Latino, low-income neighborhoods, the idea that we think you're so incapable of getting an idea, we have to make this exemption? Do you think that's backfiring as it comes down to the real streets of America?
I think it's backfiring among the younger generations of minorities. The older generations that remember the civil rights struggles and remember how America had to fight Southern Democrats in order to gain freedom. See, these are emotional issues for them. So once they hear these issues, oh, restricting the vote, this is an emotionally charged issue. And I think they're less likely to question Democrats on it. But younger Americans don't have that same shared experience. They have been in an America where There has not been sort of the social apartheid that was set up in America
right.
during the real Jim Crow years.
Right.
They've never experienced that. They've always had ID. They've always known people could get ID. So those people, I think, the younger Americans are listening and looking at this, and they're befuddled. They don't understand what is this. But for older African American and maybe Hispanic, I'm not sure, Americans, sometimes I think they would succumb to the Democrat Party arguing it's just because of emotion.
Sure. That's a great point. Yeah, and then they lived through a period where it was real, right? I mean, today it's not as overt and real. And so I guess that does harken back to memories and hard times. But it's interesting. So as conservatives continue to fight this messaging game, because it's really a messaging game, the law's in place, it's going to happen, it's going to be held up by the courts almost certainly. Focusing maybe on younger African American men and women might be a good strategy for conservatives, right?
Oh, absolutely. But conservatives have got to want to be engaged. I'll tell you this. I founded a PAC 2 years ago to help move the African American vote. And one of the things that I discovered that is that there's a lot of lip service about from our side about how this is important, but when it comes down to actual support, there's a gap. Nonetheless, the PAC released 54 ads. We moved votes. So I can tell you from experience, it isn't impossible. And I think, and by the way, one of the things that I would tell some of the younger members of the staff is not to be discouraged by the lack of support. You know, you have to want this and you have to do this.
Yep. And you got to work it. It takes time.
If you think this is worth working for, then you work for it regardless of the circumstances.
That's right. Such great advice. Yep. And, you know, like you said, there has to be an authentic connection. There has to be a real effort. It has to go beyond lip service. And I think at the, you know, in the Donald Trump years, there were these first moments where Republicans really made unique new connections to younger African-Americans, younger Latinos. And you see a little bit of the benefit in the last vote, you know, but it takes years to build that relationship.
That's right.
Yeah.
But I can tell you this, the establishment party, as far as I'm concerned, all mouth, no action.
No action, huh? Yeah. Well, that's all a warning mouth. Sign.
It doesn't bother me, like I said, because what I'm telling this group and other African American groups is don't walk around with your hand out for these established Republicans. Say they want to help you, but really don't.
Right.
Power is taken. It is not given. If you want the power, work for it and you will earn it and we will have it. And it may take a lot longer, but we will get there.
Nothing like earning it, because it's more authentic and it lasts longer when you earn it. There's no doubt about it. When you look out now, this is the challenge, which is that I think the Trump era helped realign the parties and opened up opportunities for Republicans to connect with blue collar workers, with African Americans, with Latinos, with young people. But now the question is, who's going to be the next face generation communicators, engagers in all of these new constituencies? As you look out, you've had a tremendous record of picking people and knowing they were going to, you and Rush would pick, we listen to someone in Rush and go, oh my God, that guy's a star, never heard of him. That woman's a star, never heard of her. And then all of a sudden they're on the front scenes. Who gets you excited in the conservative movement now when you look at it?
Right now there are three people.
Yeah.
I happen to have a fondness for Vice President Pence for his service.
Sure.
And for the fact that he stood by this president who was under an assault like no other president in our history.
He really did.
And Vice President Pence held his ground and held it very well. So I have a lot of deep respect and admiration and love for Vice President Pence. I have a lot of admiration, deep respect, and love for my governor, Ron DeSantis.
Of course.
Ron DeSantis is simply amazing. I love him because he is a strong leader. I have a lot of love, respect, and admiration for Governor Kristi Noem. I cannot tell you how impressed I am with her and her leadership. And, of course, if President Trump ever decides that it's worth it again to go through this.
Yeah, all the aggravation process, he had, right?
You know, I'd run to the polls to vote for him.
I bet. Yeah. Well, those are four good picks. Those are four people we're all watching now. So an important time. And you look out and you realize that the Republican Party and the conservative movement is, while in a transition in leadership, there's some really good hands that it's going to fall into all across this amazing country. And I share your optimism. It's good to hear you. So many people are downtrodden on America. There's no reason to be downtrodden. It's the greatest country in the world by a mile. And
that's right.
It's so good to hear you say that, and I know you mean it, and I hope soon we can get you back on the show. Our audience loves what you've done. They can't wait to see what you're going to do next. Do you have any hint of what you're going to be doing next?
Well, I'm working on a project right now that we'll have an announcement within the next 3 to 4 weeks, and that's within the EIB operation.
Cool.
So I've been busy working on a project for that. And then after that, I don't know. I've been having some fun on the weekends.
I've seen that.
Doing a show on WABC Radio in New York, my home radio station.
Absolutely, you're killing it. And I was on there last night with Rita Cosby. I get on there as often as I can. I love it.
Oh, love it! I love Rita too. She's such a great friend. So I've been having a blast Saturday morning. And you know, I did a talk show for WABC. While I was still working with Rush, I used to work the weekends doing the talk show.
Right, that's right.
So for me, this is going back home. And I was the music director of that radio station, walked out of one studio having produced their last music show.
And then gone into the talk show, huh?
And produced their first talk show.
Wow.
So it's a love affair with WABC.
I'm having
a blast doing that.
Yeah, well, that is great. Well, any show you're on, I'm going to be listening or watching. Let me be clear about that. You are an amazing talent, an amazing voice in America, and we need more of you every day. So, both, thank you, James. Thank you. Depending which way people know
both,
you, we're just
I
so grateful.
And John, thank you. You are fearless, and the attack that you have been under.
Yeah, we've had a few bumps.
Sharing the truth and digging out the truth. If there was really a truthful nomination for the Pulitzer Prize, you'd have it.
Oh, thank you, James. That means so much. I love what I do. And you know, the criticism doesn't bother me because I can't wait for the next story and telling a good story and give people facts that'll make up their own mind. It inspires me and all that other stuff that happens. And you know, because you've been an object of it as well. You just brush it off as noise and you get back in the game and I love what I do. I feel like the luckiest man in the world to get to do what I do every day. I really do.
Amazing. And thank you for having me. And let's do it again.
All right, James, we will. Thank you again. And God bless you.
God bless you too, John. Thanks.
All right, folks, that wraps it up. James Golden, what an amazing man. What an amazing interview. We're so blessed that he's in this country, keeping us smart and wise and informed every day. All right, we're going to go to a quick commercial break. When we come back, Brian Della Rocca, the lawyer for John Paul McIsaac, the Delaware shop owner who ended up with that Hunter Biden laptop. He's got something to say about Hunter Biden's book tour. We're going to have it first right here. Folks, if you owe back taxes, fair warning, you're not going to like this. The IRS is mailing millions of pay up letters. Millions, I say. Then it's up to the 20,000 new IRS enforcement agents to find you. Why the IRS targets you and not millionaires? Well, because millionaires have tax lawyers. You don't. You'll pay up. Plus interest and penalties. You need Tax Network USA, and you need them now. Tax Network USA has brilliant war room strategies to solve your IRS problems quickly and in your favor. Like a preferred direct line to the IRS, they know which agents to deal with and who to avoid. It's not all bad news for you because Tax Network USA learned of a special limited time IRS offer. They're willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. So schedule your free confidential consultation to see if you qualify for this limited time IRS penalty canceling offer. To do so, call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000 or visit tnusa.com/justnews. That's tnusa.com/justnews. All right, folks, welcome back from the commercial break. And I am so honored to have this man joining our show. He has been in the trenches fighting for John Paul McIsaac, the Delaware shop owner who somehow ended up, didn't want it, but he ended up with it, the laptop from Hunter Biden. He did the right thing, gave it to the FBI, and he's been under attack ever since. But he has this amazing lawyer, Brian Della Rocca, in his corner fighting for him, whether it's against Twitter, against everything. And we wanted to bring Brian on the show because, you know, Hunter Biden's out there selling books, making allegations, having some media interviews, and we thought we might balance the record by bringing in Brian. So, Brian, welcome to the show. It's so good to have you.
Thank you, John. Thank you for having me on.
Well, it's an honor. First, let me ask how your client is doing. I know it's he's been through an awful lot this last year, the attacks, the threats. He had to shut down his show. We were blessed to have him on the show a few months ago. He such a compelling interview. How is he doing with all of the new publicity coming out the last few days?
Well, I mean, you know, JP is such a nice guy, and he was handling it. He's been handling it so well, considering everything that's happening. But recently, he started talking. He just feels like a prisoner. You know, he kind of feels like he can't go anywhere. He gets unwanted attention. And while he has supporters out there, which is wonderful, and we love the supporters, the detractors are so loud. And they're so emotional about him, despite really not knowing the fact, or sometimes not even wanting to know the fact.
Right.
It's very tough. It's extremely tough.
Yeah, I can only imagine. And it's a story that's not going to go away. It isn't like he gets a few minutes and then he can breathe. It is just, this is going to linger on for quite some time. Now, Hunter Biden had a pretty significant interview, and he did the, I don't know, maybe it is my laptop, maybe it isn't, maybe it's Russian disinformation, maybe it was hacked. I wonder if you could respond on behalf of you and your client to the sort of rope-a-dope game he played in that interview.
Well, first, I thought he did an excellent job with the talking points. I mean, I really think he was probably coached on how to respond. And that was such, the way it was asked was such a softball question. It really didn't, it seemed like she really wanted to know an answer. But I can tell you that Hunter was in the shop twice. He dropped off the he brought three laptops in, ended up leaving one for the recovery of the data.
Right.
But then had to come back the next day at John Paul's request to bring back an external hard drive onto which he wanted John Paul to transfer the information. So it was him. He did that. He signed the work order. So there's no doubt that he knows it's his and he's the one that dropped it off.
Yeah. I mean, you have pretty strong proof. You got the signature, man. The people have gone through this laptop and got other people to say, yeah, that's my email. I sent that email. I did this last week on an email with Adam Waldman about the effort to assist the oligarch, and Adam Waldman said, yeah, that's my email. I sent that really happened. And you go and you do the interviews, everything on that hard drive is authentic and real. And any suggestion otherwise seems to be subterfuge, based on the reporting I've done, at least, you know, I haven't seen any evidence of anything. You recently filed a very important lawsuit against Twitter, and it's going to challenge the Section 230 immunity. It's going to hold them potentially accountable for suggesting that your client might have been involved in a hacking violation that violated their policy. They have since retracted. We've seen Jack Dorsey say it was a big mistake. How is that lawsuit going? Can you bring us up to speed on how that suit is going?
Well, I mean, we're stalled a bit right now. A few days after we filed, before Twitter had even entered an appearance in the case, the judge issued an order to show cause as to why Twitter is not immune from suit in pursuant to Section 230. So we responded to that, and by the time the deadline for Twitter to respond came, they had entered the attorneys had entered their appearance, and they responded. So really, we're waiting for the judge right now to issue an opinion on our response about whether Section 230 should apply. And as I wrote in my response, and I have a great co-counsel down in Florida, Wes Harvin, we've been working very well together. But we don't think it applies because we think instead of just serving as a platform which people can communicate, and instead of just blocking the dissemination of the article, which they could have done, I think, pursuant to Section 230, they went further and said that this violates their hacked materials policy, which directly implicates John Paul. John Paul was the one that accessed the material, but mind you, he accessed it with Hunter Biden's permission, and so he did not hack the material.
Right.
And then he turned after a waiting period of 90 days pursuant to the policy that Hunter Biden signed off on of unclaimed property. At that point, after that 90 days had expired, he turned it over to the, well, he sought out the FBI at that point and eventually turned it over to them.
Yeah, no, he did the, you know, exactly what you would expect the a responsible person to do, right? You have something, you see something on it, your concerns either might be unlawful. We talk so many times about people who ignore the signs of evidence, and they tell you after the fact, oh, I kind of knew that was a bad thing and I let it happen. Unfortunately, there's a tragedy by time. Your client was responsible, proactively did what a responsible person should be doing, and he gets intact almost daily by the left and by the mainstream media. I want to ask you this question, because no one's, I think, asked it before. How much responsibility does Joe Biden, Hunter Biden, the Biden team, Team Biden, hold responsibility for the false portrait that you believe your client has endured? How much should we assign blame and responsibility to Team Biden for the Russia stuff, all the different things, the letter that, you know, suggested it was Russian disinformation? How much does that rest with the president?
That's a great question. You know, from the beginning, John Paul has been very careful to not really say anything negative about Hunter Biden.
Right.
He really, even in interviews,
he didn't in ours.
The videos, right? And he doesn't want to. It's not about Hunter Biden personally. And you know, the way John Paul sees it, and I agree, everyone has their own problems, their own crosses to bear, per se. And we're not looking to get into that. And so, talking about the president or anyone else, I don't know who is to blame. They've got a pretty powerful media machine out there. I don't know if I would blame them more than, say, CNN or some of the news media. And I'm not just talking, I'm talking about news media providers that I used to read all of the time. Washington Post refused to publish a response on behalf of
last
Don
year,
Paul.
Right? Back before the election, right?
Yes, specifically the response was from an editor there that says, I don't think this will be a good fit for us. and
guess the truth isn't a good fit for them anymore. Who knew? Fair comment.
That's what we're up against. We're up against people who are buying into, buying is a great word for it, because I feel like a lot of the media is more about what sells the most and which side of the story sells better. And as you can imagine, I've been reading a lot more Glenn Greenwald and Matt Taibbi recently. Because
sure, me too.
They make so much sense.
They do.
Now that I'm experiencing this,
your perception of the media changed as a result of this representation of this amazing client, right? It actually literally, I know you and I've talked about this off air. You have a different perspective on the media now that you've been in the middle of seeing them perform and you know the truth of what's going on. How has that changed?
I have a hard time believing any one media provider. I mean, I used to spend time reading as many different media articles by as many different media providers as I can. But now I find it even more important because you see both sides of a story, neither of which seem to be the full truth.
Yeah, don't reflect the full reality.
So
yep.
it's really hard to know what is going on. It doesn't seem like anyone is asking the really difficult question.
So when you look out, let me ask you this, because we've talked off air about this. What is the important questions that we should be asking Hunter Biden? What are the questions that the FBI should be asked and the Hunter Biden should be asked that would help clear this up, get this to a fuller understanding of what really went on?
Well, I mean, I would, I have a lot of questions for the FBI about why they seemingly sat on information. And mind you, this wasn't an election surprise. It wasn't intended to be an October surprise at all. I mean,
right.
It was in 2019 that before Joe Biden had even declared his intent to run, this was way before that. And he had gone to the FBI. John Paul had gone to the FBI because he saw information. He saw things on there that he didn't think were right, were legal. But he's not he's not law enforcement. So he went to law enforcement for them to sort it out. And it kind of, there were a few missteps along the way, things FBI said to him or did that just didn't seem right. But then it just, there was no mention of it anywhere. There was nothing about Hunter Biden or anything about the laptops, despite the fact that there was a lot of talk about Ukraine. And he just thought it was odd. And I agree. The FBI needs to talk about what happened from the time that that John Paul went to them with the information to the time they actually decided to come get it to now. What happened? No one knows, and we probably won't find out. But it really is sad the way it seems they handled this situation.
It is remarkable, and there's a lot of work to be done. We're working to do authentication of more emails and more information on that laptop, and I think we're gonna learn a lot of great things in the next few weeks. Last question I want to ask you: at the end of the day, when this is all done and the dust is settled, what does your client want? What does he deserve? What would make him feel satisfied at the end of the day that he's been treated fairly after all he's been through?
Honestly, I think maybe having some of these media outlets who have ignored him just have some interest in finding out, all right, let me listen to his side of the story, doing some real research into the situation. It's really, the only vindication will be once people stop referring to him as some part of a Russian disinformation campaign, a hacker. He's not.
Nope.
And it's so far from the truth.
And you could tell it bothered him when he was on the show. I mean, it deeply hurts him to hear that because he really felt like he did the right thing.
Yeah. And I think that's part of the problem in this day and age is a rush to judgment. I don't think it's new.
Right.
I think it's historically, it's been around forever. But this rush to judgment about things that you don't want to believe are true, I think that's part of the problem. And I don't know that there's a way to, I think just time at this point, because the damage has already happened and people, the attention span of everyone is so short that even if everyone apologizes to John Paul, media outlets, whomever, Adam Schiff, people who said, who put out wrong information, the damage is done. And I think people ignore it when retractions come out and apologies.
Yeah, it's
so
often.
I don't know that there's anything that can be done.
Yeah.
I do want to say, John, that I talked about media outlets and stuff. I think what you have been doing with just the news and the facts that you put out there, without getting into the opinion realm, is really wonderful.
There's plenty of opinion out there already. We trust people to make up their own mind, and I think, you know, when I had the first interview with you and we kind of went through the timeline of how John Paul McIsaac and his family handled this, it was jaw-dropping to me. I mean, I didn't know the timeline, and it changes your whole understanding. And it didn't take long. It's not hard work. You were accessible.
Right.
It just requires reporters to be curious and want to get all facts, not just some facts. And we're so grateful because you've been so cooperative, and you tried to, within the confines of your representation, your legal obligations, to be as transparent as possible. And that's been incredibly helpful because you can get to the truth by following the facts. And we're grateful that you've helped us, you know, try to get there.
Yeah, and I am grateful to you. John Paul is grateful to you and to everyone who has really been out there helping out. I mean, it really... The CBS interview, one of the reasons I was surprised by it was they didn't even seek any comments by
Unreal.
John Paul. And you would think that if you're talking about the laptop, you would want to try to get all sides of the story.
Yeah.
But that's not what has ever happened, it seems, since I've been involved in helping John Paul.
Yep, it is a real problem. It's endemic in the profession now, and I often say I don't recognize the profession I got into 30 years ago, and I think what Matt Taibbi and Glenn Greenwald and a couple other wise people are writing is so true. This industry has to wake up, stop the rush to judgment. I think that was a brilliant point you made. Wait till all the facts come out. Be neutral arbiters of the facts, and then let people make up their mind when there's a complete picture. That used to be journalism. Yeah. Hopefully we get back there someday.
I hope so. Well, with your help, hopefully we will.
Well, thank you, Brian. And thank you for all you've done. Give our best to your client and let him know that we're continuing to pursue the truth. And as new developments happen, we're going to get you back on the show.
Wonderful. Thank you, John.
All right, folks, you've been listening to Brian Della Rocca. Great update. First real reaction to the Hunter Biden interviews. We're so grateful he joined us today. And we'll be back to wrap things up for the day right after this commercial break.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
All right, folks. Boy, I'm white. What a great set of interviews. So much to talk about. So much to learn. Very important points from James Golden and from Brian Della Rocca. I was thinking as we were in the commercial break there, Brian's... analysis that the news media suffers from this extraordinarily embarrassing rush to judgment before the facts are out. Boy, what a perceptive thing to say. And of course, James Golden, the optimism for America, the opportunity for conservatives, the lip service that he's upset that some conservatives are giving to the new constituencies of the Republican Party, growing Latino, African-American, and of course, his very strong perception that younger African-Americans aren't buying this whole Jim Crow voter ID argument. Very interesting. He knows because he has driven voter drives and registration and PACs. He knows the sentiments out there. Very, very perceptive stuff. So glad to have two great guests in one show, and so glad that you joined us to listen and to learn along with me. We'll be back tomorrow with some scoopy reporting and another big interview. Until then, I hope God blesses you and blesses this great country of America as he always has. You've been listening to John Solomon Reports at justthenews.com. God bless. Good night. We'll be back tomorrow. At Just the News, we break the stories others in the media ignore or are too afraid to tell. We did it on Russia collusion, Hunter Biden, and the security and intelligence failures that preceded January 6th. Our stories have real impact and reach because we stick to the facts. I'm John Solomon. You can help me expand our honest, unvarnished, and unbiased reporting by becoming a premium member at Just the News. You'll get an ad-free experience and exclusive member-only access to events, and you'll be helping us dig up more truth. Join today at justthenews.com/subscribe.
Hey there, it's Amanda Head, and I am thrilled to introduce to you my new exciting podcast, Furthermore with Amanda Head, broadcasting weekly from sunny Los Angeles, California, and brought to you by the dynamic Just the News Podcast Network. On this fresh and engaging podcast, I delve into the latest news with a little bit of a twist, exploring the furthermore of every story. But this isn't your typical run-of-the-mill news commentary or politically charged program. I interview a diverse range of guests, including business leaders, entertainers, musicians, educators, experts, politicians, and many influential figures from both the United States and around the world. So why not make your Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays a little more interesting? Tune in on your preferred podcast platform and discover Furthermore with Amanda Head on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. And don't forget to hit that follow or subscribe button and be sure to download the latest episodes. I can't wait to have you join me on this exciting journey.